Well, we're going to start in Psalms 1. Again, while you're turning there and marking Mark 5, the mandate for the prayer center is very specific. I like having a specific assignment. I like knowing what it is I'm contending for. The mandate that God gave Pastor Dave Roberson years ago, go far enough into me to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Most of you are here, either physically present or present by way of the internet or by CD. You've joined yourself to the prayer center because when you heard that mandate, you also heard the call. There's something in you that says, yes, that's the true gospel. The same thing that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. I am a part of that. And something, I don't know, the Spirit of God, I like to say it this way, he like put a hook in your jaw. And he drew you here. Then when you heard the message about, like, what would praying in other tongues do for you? Is there a way that on purpose I can yield myself to this supernatural God, to this Holy Spirit? Is there a way that I can yield myself, that I can be changed and trained and transformed? There's a way to do that on purpose. And then Dave began to teach us all of those foundational principles. So you were joined to this vision. And without interviewing each of you, I already know the devil has thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, at you to drive you away. And yet you're still here. Now, I haven't really talked to Pastor Dave or Tim or Mark or even Alan about what I'm about to say. We don't sit around and talk like this. We don't sit around very much and talk at all. But when we do have opportunity to fellowship, we're usually talking about God and the Word and those things. We don't wallow in what I'm about to describe. See, I don't know how it is with you. I'll just fess up without talking to them. I'm not saying it's this way with them. I'm not even saying it's this way with you, but I have a suspicion. You know, like this morning, here I'm supposed to come in and teach you the Word of God and empower you and equip you to do this vision. But see, when I woke up this morning, if I was going to go by how I felt, I would go to where I know for sure there's going to be an altar call today. I would have gone to a good Southern Baptist church where I know I'm going to hear the cross preached so I could get saved. In other words, it was taking all of my faith just to believe that simple part of the message of the cross. I didn't feel saved. I felt like the world. I said, who am I? I mean, you think he heaps condemnation? Well, and he does. I don't mean to say he doesn't, but thoughts like this go through a teacher's mind. Who do you think you are? To go down there, you know you're scum. You know you are. Who do you think you are to go down there and try and teach these people? You can barely get yourself out of bed in the morning. What's wrong with you? And then he starts bringing up every failing that I have, and I don't mean years ago either. Okay, I can tell by the reaction. I'm not the only one, okay? See, but you really only have two choices when it comes to that. See, everybody has feelings. Everybody has emotions. If I was going to go by my emotions, I would be saved one day, lost the next, powerful tomorrow. The next day, I'm probably headed for hell. I mean, you know, that's why God gave us His Word. His Word does not change. And I was thinking about that this morning. I mean, it was a pretty good warfare this morning. It's pretty severe. You know, where I had thoughts like this, am I just going to chunk the whole thing? You know, just try and live a nice life. No one ever had this thought either. I'm just going to try and live a nice life and love people and be nice and hope to God I make heaven, you know, if there is a heaven. Did you hear that? If there is a heaven, I mean, you know. You know what? And the word that came to my mind, what he's trying to do is get me to become a scorner, to scorn the Word of God. Let me give you the best Bible definition. Now, this is not from a PhD at some seminary, but this is the seminary of the Holy Ghost. You know how Dave teaches us that if you will assimilate the Word of God and pray in tongues a lot, the Holy Ghost, he'll start not only putting verses together for you, but he'll start putting books together for you. He'll use one book to teach you out of another book what a true meaning is. So the reason we're going to start here in Psalms 1, this is where Dave usually begins, or one of the foundational passages he uses when he's teaching on how to meditate God's Word. And the verse I'm really looking for is really the first verse, but it's so good. Let me read the whole psalm. Psalms 1:1. Blessed. Now, by the way, we're going to come down. It's going to talk about his law. Well, that's all they had. That's all they had was the law of God. I'm going to substitute the Word of God, because we now have much more than the law. We are no longer under the law. We are under grace. So now we don't meditate just the law. That's what they had to meditate. But we have the whole Word of God to meditate. Got that? Okay, so I'm just changing that one part because we have a lot more than what they had. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's bad enough, isn't it? I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor stand in the way of sinners. Well, that's not good either, you know. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Yes, sir. We'll come back to the psalm. Hold your place there. I am going to read the whole thing. But now go over to Mark 5. I'm going to give you the Bible definition of what a scorner is. This comes right after, what we're going to read comes right after the woman with the issue of blood. Most of you are very familiar with that. This man had come. In fact, we'll start before the woman with the issue of blood. Let's start in verse 22. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that's Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Now I have three daughters. When they were little, well, it wouldn't be much different now, but especially when they were little, or if it was my lily cakes, and she was at the point of death. Man, I'd beseech him greatly too, wouldn't you? I wouldn't want any interruptions either. I wouldn't want any interruptions now. I mean, Jesus, okay, this woman has an issue of blood, but my daughter's she's at the door of death. Okay. My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, I'm asking you, Jesus, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Boy, is that a statement of faith or what? Is that a statement of faith? This man is approaching Jesus with faith in his heart. If you'll come and lay your hand on her. He didn't say maybe she'll live. She will live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And here we go, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, I'm not going to go through all of that. You know what happened there. She kept saying within herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And that's exactly what happened. So let's pick it up here at verse 34. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. But now remember, Jairus is still standing there. While that's all going on, while Jesus is talking with that woman, and I'm sure Jairus was probably not a bad man. I mean, I'm sure he was glad that woman got healed, but Jesus, my daughter, Lord. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain that people which said, here comes your bad report. It doesn't get any worse than this. Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. I can just see him turning. Probably put his finger right. I don't know for sure, but in my mind, here comes the evil report. And they're just saying the facts. You've got to understand what our world, what this world calls truth is not truth. It is facts. They weren't lying in the sense of she died. It was a fact. But I'll tell you again, truth changes fact. I've got that's the most listened to message ever at my website. Truth changes fact. You can afford it. It's free. I recommend it to you. Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, and this is what he will always say to you, be not afraid. Afraid of what? Facts, circumstances, evil reports. Even if they are what the world calls true, he says, don't be afraid, only believe. Glory to God. With Smith Wigglesworth's favorite song, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. I'm sure he sang it a lot better, but that was his favorite song, and I understand the more longer I'm in this. This morning I had to only believe just to get my sorry tail down here to preach you. You got to only believe the Word of God. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if the facts say your situation is dead. If that's not what God said, and it seldom is, then your job is to only believe. Only believe. Love how that's phrased. He suffered no man to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult. You're always going to have tumulters around. When your situation is bad, everybody, they'll tumult. They'll join in your unbelief. They'll join in your sadness. And they don't mean to be bad, but they're scorners anyway. Let me show you what I mean. Them that wept and wailed greatly. Yeah, that's real good. That always moves God. Whining and crying. And it's bad. I mean, your daughter's dead. Don't get me wrong. But what did he tell Jairus? Only believe. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, now he is Jesus. He is the Word of God. He is the Son of God. He is the fully manifested, mature Son of the living God in full manifestation. I can't say it strong enough. They don't get any more mature than this one. Full manifested Son of God. This is the image we're all striving to be conformed to, and not striving, allowing the Holy Spirit to conform us to, let's say it that way. And what does he say? He said unto them, well, why? He says, why make, in the King James, why make you this ado? We don't talk like that. He said, what are y'all doing? What are you doing? And this, what's all this crying? This damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. This next verse, here's your Bible definition of scorning. And they laughed him to scorn. And the whole church is doing that pretty much with the Word of God. I'm amazed at my own unbelief sometimes. This is a supernatural gospel. This is a supernatural Father we have. You are a supernatural creature. We have got to stop being limited by our natural brain, natural reasoning, what Paul says, so-called science. And I'm not against science. I'm an engineer by training. Hey, let's go do trigonometry together. I can remember a little of it. It's been a long time, but I still like the stuff. You know, I like all that. But I have to be careful that my natural brain does not scorn the Word of God. That I don't look at situations and come to the same conclusions that the world does. It's not a accident in my mind that the first miracle that Jesus performed, John tells you in John chapter 2, the first miracle was changing water into wine. Now my little engineering brain has trouble with it. Because I know that wine comes from grape. And I also know that there is no grape in H2O. It doesn't say water is H2O plus grape. There's nothing in water to make wine from. This isn't a transformation. This is a creation of something that wasn't there. So are you. You're not some kind of cleaned up sinner. Regardless of what your brain tells you, regardless of what your emotions tell you, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Only believe that. Only believe that. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Walk the floor, talk to yourself, and your emotion says, you're not even saved. You're not even going to make heaven. In fact, there's not even a heaven. The whole Word of God is untrue. Hello, scorning devil. Devil trying to get you to believe that. I don't know if we're done there or not. I might hold your place here. Go back to Psalms for a minute. I don't want to finish Psalms. Because you got to beware. I'm finding out you can walk in this 30 years and still become a scorner if you yield to your emotions. If you yield over to natural logic. I feel sorry for atheists. I really, really do. They're fools and don't know it. But I'm not the one calling them that. The Word says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now see, the reason I feel so sorry for them, if they really are an atheist, if they really are that, what, they've never felt him? They've never had that. I'll never forget it. Y'all know, I start thinking about it 33 years later. The old song says that when that burden of that sin rolled away. They'd never felt that. They've never heard his voice. How can you live and not hear him? My sheep know my voice. And I'm not saying you hear an audible voice, but Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of God. Can I say it that way? We have more than the law in our dispensation. His delight is in the word of the Lord. And in his word does he meditate day and night. I think this is confession day. He's always mean to me and nice to you. My soul, my natural Gary soul, if there is, yeah, there's still such a thing as that because it's being renewed. See, that new creature on the inside of me is not renewed. It's reborn. It's created righteous and holy from the get-go. The very day that I asked Jesus into my heart, there's a new creature come on the inside of me. It's not renewed. It's birthed. It's born. And it's born like a little child in our world. It's born innocent and pure and holy. That's my spirit. But that soul of mine, which includes the... Now, here's where the trash is. It's polluted. It's got some of the Word of God in it. It does not only believe that at this point. It should. But my natural soul... See where it says his delight is in the Word of the Lord? I remember when I first got born again, I didn't care about anything else. Sue can tell you I got weird. I didn't want to go to work. I sat in my bathrobe. Now, y'all know, I'm telling you that I've told you this before. The first 2 weeks, first week or 2 weeks, I was still smoking. I was still drinking. All I knew was Jesus had saved me. But there was a hunger for God's word on the inside of me. I didn't care anymore about going to work. I sat there with my bathrobe and bedhead. All I wanted to do all day was sit there and read my Bible, even though I wasn't understanding probably 1, maybe 5% of what I was reading. It didn't care. It felt like if I didn't read it, if I didn't get it in me, I was going to literally die. It was food. So you get this picture of Gary sitting there, bed hit, and I was a lot better looking then. I was 33. Half the man I am now. No, not quite. A lot thinner anyway. 33. A lot more hair, bedhead, sitting near my robe, smoking, sipping my bourbon and coke, reading the Bible and crying. What a sight. This is how it started. And I didn't care. I didn't want to go to a movie. I didn't want to really watch TV. I didn't want to watch the news. I wanted to leave me alone and let me read my Bible. And I did. I devoured that rascal for a long time. But over the years, what happened to me. I'm not saying this happened to you. I have to watch it now. My soul, if I'm not careful, my soul, it's a newsaholic. It is. And then the other thing that my soul really likes, it likes movies. My soul, it likes escape. I'm the only one that likes that. See, and I don't like murders. I don't really like watching, you know, that kind of stuff so much. Because, you know, the idea is to escape, right? Not get more. So I like things like Superman and Thor and the Avengers. Because I know that's not real. See, I know that's not real. I won't say that. I like vampire movies, I'll tell you that, because I know they're not real. Okay? Oh, I'll get letters now. Sure glad you're so holy, I tell you that. But see, I've let my soul go too far. It is food, one or the other. And I can tell now, I'm going to have to rein my soul back in. My spirit man still delights in the Word of God. Now, it's not wrong every once in a while to give your soul a break, I don't think. A break is different from a lifestyle. You understand what I'm saying? It's time to delight myself again in the Word of the Lord. And in His Word, do I meditate how often? Well, how do you do that? Like Dave teaches, how do you get, what, God doesn't want us to sleep? No. Meditation is different than reading. See, and that's why Dave teaches assimilation, and that's not really my message. But if you haven't heard his message, meditation, imagery, and delivery, and the other one is assimilating, how to assimilate God's Word. If you'll do what's on those messages, what it is, you equip yourself for day and night meditation. And that happens to me all the time. I'll wake, this morning wasn't one of them. But a lot of mornings I wake up in the middle of a lesson. Whether I'm preaching that day or not, I'll wake up in the middle of a lesson. My soul, even while I slept, has been in meditation mode because I've equipped my soul through assimilating all the books of the Bible. I've equipped it for day and night meditation. So it's available for the Holy Spirit even while I'm sleeping, because my spirit doesn't sleep and the Holy Spirit doesn't sleep. My soul can be taking its rest. And this lesson can be going on between my spirit and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes my soul will wake up right in the middle of one of those lessons. I have to grab a notepad. I have to get in there and rub the... I mean, there's times... Now, this is... Those that know me well, there's times I have to go to my computer before the coffee pot. I mean, this is serious. If you got to go to the computer before the coffee pot... Why? Because I want to start typing. I don't want to lose what's going on there, see? I want to catch the revelation, see? Did you... Psalms 1. We're going to finish this. Blessed is the man that walketh not... You ever notice how it goes from walking to standing to sitting? See, the devil's job, what he'd really like... He'd like to get you just over into sin. because that'll stop your progress. You'll just be standing there. But see, if he can get you to where you scorn the Word of God, believers often scorn the Word of God. Somebody will be standing for a supernatural healing, sometimes behind their back, sometimes not behind their back. They'll just say, well, God have mercy on their ignorant head. I mean, here they are standing for a supernatural healing. And don't get me wrong, I believe in doctors. I thank God for doctors. I don't think it's any accident that Luke was the beloved physician that traveled with Paul. I think that's in there for us to understand. It's okay. But I'm telling you, there's lots of things that medical science has no answer for. If you don't believe that, come down and put your hand on this prayer box later and look at these pictures of all these young people, all these people that we have on here. Every one of those cases, modern science, with the best that modern science has no answer for. But again, we serve a supernatural God who has given us his supernatural word. And the last thing we want to do is become scorners who don't believe his word. I go back to this morning. He's taking me back again. I'm telling you, the war was on this morning. Who do you think you are? And he was trying to get me to pick up the phone and call Tim, call Dave, call Mark, and they would have had mercy on me if I had it. I said, please, you gotta take, well, I don't know if Dave's a real father. He might not have had mercy on me. You get up there and do your job, like my dad would have told me. You get up there and do your job, I'm going to kick your behind, you know. That's not what Dave would say, but that's what O.R. would say. Get up here and do your job like a man. Yes, sir. But the war was really, really, the pressure was on. I mean, it was trying to get me to just, this pressure, whatever it is, it was like, it was to the point of, you're not even saved. You don't even know that the Word of God is true at all. There may not even be a heaven or a hell. You may be dead like a dog when you die. I'm the only one that's ever had those thoughts. I know I am. That was this morning before I come down here. And I really had this thought. I really had this thought. I mean, it was so strong. I had this thought. If I do that, if I yield to that, that the Word of God is not true, if I yield to that, I'll become a scorner. I remembered that passage in Mark 5. If that's true, there is no God, there is no Jesus, I'll become a fool. I'll become a fool like those that the Word of God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's really where that thing was trying to get me to. Boy, when it dawned on my lightning quick mind, Mark 5 was exactly the passage that came to me, and they laughed Jesus to scorn. I am not going to become one of those. That when Jesus says all things are possible to him that believes, I'm going to laugh him to scorn. Jesus says, all who come to me I will in no wise cast out, and yet my emotions are trying to tell me I've either been cast out or there's nobody to cast me out. How dumb is your head? Susceptible, you know, to emotions. And the world will program you through romance novels and everything else to get you living by your emotions. Psalms 1. We'll try it again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. First you were walking. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. That stopped you. Nor sitteth it in the seat of the scornful. See, if you ever go into that camp, you're done. You're done. There's nothing left. If you scorn the Word of God, you're done. There's nothing left. Without His Word, we're hopeless. Without His Word, there is no faith. Yes, sir. This thought has flashed through my mind 3 times, so I'm going to say it now. I may say it again. Every time that you see anybody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John coming to Jesus, like the woman with the issue of blood, she came to the physical Jesus. But in John chapter 1, verse 1, or right there in the first few verses, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Later on, so you don't have any doubt who that's talking about, it says, then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. Jesus came to show us what the Father's Word would do. He is the Father's Word made flesh. I used to say, if I could only come to you, Jesus, I could get my healing. And he says, you have the Father's Word. How we do it, we go to the Word to get our healing. We go to his Word. He sent his Word and healed them. You don't have to find the physical Jesus. The physical Jesus is not on this planet. You might see him in a vision, but he himself in his glorified body, it plainly tells you, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. It's a fruitless task trying to find the physical Jesus to get your healing. He came to show us what the Father's Word would do. He plainly said, it's not me doing the works, it's the Father in me doing the works. He is the Father's Word made flesh, so we can see the Father's Word in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with legs. He is the Father's Word with legs in action. If you want to know what the Word will do, look at what Jesus did. And that same Word will do it for you. You just got to come to the Word. That's good preaching right there. I'm preaching better than your amening, but that's okay. That's why last week's message, I think, was called Manifesting the Kingdom of God. And how we approached it was through God's Word as a seed. And everything you need is in God's Word. Every image of healing, every image of salvation, every image of deliverance, every image of deliverance for your kids, everything you'll ever need is in God's Word. Take it, plant it like a seed. That's how you come to Jesus. You come to his Word. He and his Word are one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. It's the Father in me that doeth the works. For us, he said, Father, I in them, thou in me. You've got Christ in you and the Father in him. Now, just exactly what's not possible. And it's still not you doing the works. It's the Father in you doing the works by the agency of the Holy Spirit. See, when I demonstrate the Holy Spirit by necessity, I normally have somebody like walk with me. I'd be hopefully a great big powerful looking dude, because the Holy Spirit's really powerful. But it's not really walking with me so much as walking in me. He has baptized your spirit. He come upon Jesus as a dove so we could see that. But again, really what he's baptizing is not your flesh. He's baptizing your spirit. He's anointing you like that cloak in the Old Testament. You know, that oil that they would pour from the oil, you know, from the head, and it run down the beard and run down the whole thing. Well, it's a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. But he's not poured on your flesh. He's poured on your spirit. That's how you come to Jesus. You come to his Word. And his Word will do exactly what God said it will do. If you have a problem with that, get last week's message. Manifesting the Kingdom. Okay, verse 2. I better skip over verse 1. I never seem to make it past it. But his delight is in the Word of God. And in his Word does he meditate day and night. What happens if you do that? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. How many would like a big heaping helping of this next one? And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm seeing that. For years, y'all know, I drove trucks across the Mojave Desert. And I love the desert. I love the whole country, to be honest with you. If God hadn't have called me to preach, and I'd have retired or died driving trucks. He'd have to drag me out with my fingernails clutching against the steering wheel. I just loved it. Winter, summer, fall, spring, I loved it all. But driving across that desert, and I think the desert has its own beauty just the way it is. But I remember when I first started driving out across there, off in the distance, first time I saw it, I didn't know what it was. It looked like something green, from the right to the left, all the way across my vision, there was green coming. And after all that brown, you've been driving for hours, just brown, sand and sagebrush, you know. And it's not very green, but all of a sudden, here's this green coming. I wonder what it is. Thought maybe it's a forest. But then you finally get there, and it's a little stream. And maybe at that moment it's even dried up. But there's water in it from time to time. And what that green, what I was seeing was a ribbon really of green of trees you know, taller than the sagebrush. These would be taller than a man, sometimes pretty tall. But they're growing because they were growing right along the banks of that stream. And even though there might not be water in the stream that you could see underground right there, there'd still be water. Those things were flourishing, green, healthy plants, when everything around it was devastated. Nothing would grow because there's no rain. Now, the reason that for their prosperity, can I say it that way? The reason for those, for their prosperity, they were tapped into a source of life not available to the rest of the desert. Glory to God. God's word taps you in to a source of life not available to this natural world. Glory to God. That's why it says this. If you become a person who learns to meditate God's word day and night, and where his word becomes your delight and you live by his word, everything you do, you'll be just like those trees planted by the rivers of water. You're not dependent on the natural world anymore. Glory to God. And I'm not talking about just your finances. I'm talking about your health. Now, we should be good stewards. I'm trying to be a better steward of my body. The Lord plainly told me losing a lot of blubber will help. I'm too blubbery. So I'm working on it. Okay, 15 down, 30 to go or so here. But anyway, all right. But see, losing weight will not create, for those of you that may not know, I'm believing God for new disc. Yes. To I'm not the only one apparently believing God. You know, I can show you an x-ray that I had 5 years ago, that two of my vertebrae, at that time there was about a 16th inch left of space, you know, cartilage, whatever that stuff is, whatever it is, the squishy stuff between the disc, between the vertebrae. At 5 years ago, I had like a 16th. I don't even think there's a 16th now. I'm pretty sure it's bone on bone. It sure feels like it. Okay? It hurts. Hurts a lot. All right? Now, I can lose the blubber. I can be a good steward. How many of you know losing weight does not create new discs? See, I can do my part, and I should do my part. The world, the only answer they have is to fuse those two discs together so they don't grind. Okay? Trouble is, and I'm not against that. I'm not against doing that. If you've had that done, I'm not against that. And you may have had it done and had good success, and I praise God with you. But I have two relatives and some friends that have had that done, and not one of them are they better. The ones that I know personally. Okay? So I'm just not going to go that route. If I have a supernatural Father, and I have his supernatural word, and I already have these promises in here that I can have what I say, and that all things are possible to him that believes, why not just go for new discs? I have a supernatural Father, and I have his word, and why not just go for it? Why not believe that? And I'm going to do my part. I'm going to get the blubber off, but that's not going to create new discs. But he will. I prophesy, Gary shall have new discs. Gary shall walk pain-free in his back. How can you say that? I have his word, and I meditate in his word day and night, and everything that I do shall prosper, including believing for a new disc. Amen? Why not? If Jesus came, and he did, to show us what the Father's like, and I can't go there yet because we haven't finished Psalms 1. We're going to go there in a minute. He plainly says he came to show us the Father so we could know what the Father would do. Anyway, we'll get there in just a minute. Verse 4. Now I've got to read verse 3 again. He shall be like a tree. I want to be like that tree, planted by the rivers of water. I want to be tapped into a supernatural source that is not of this world. How you do that is tap into his word. God and his word are one. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I don't care if the whole world looks like the Mojave Desert. I don't care if everything around me is falling apart and everything is bad. Everything. This tells me if I tap into God's Word and meditate in it day and night, I have a different source. My Father still knows how to send the ravens with food and put me by the brook or lead me to the wherever the source is. Amen? 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh us. He says, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Well, the way of the ungodly is the way of the world. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. To the natural man, the way of the world seems right. But the way of the world ends in death. We don't want to walk according to the world. We want to walk according to God. Now, go over to John chapter 14 for just a moment. I wrote down a couple of verses here. Let me find it myself. By the way, just so you'll know, I couldn't do it loud at my house that early in the morning, but I only know one way to drive the devil off. And it's the same way Jesus drove the devil off. If you try and fight those kind of battles like I described this morning with your mind, you'll lose. A preacher that was like a father to me often said, if the devil can hold you over in the arena of the mind, he will defeat you every time. But if you can hold the devil over in the arena of faith, you will defeat him every time. Now, faith is more than believing in the heart. Faith always has two parts, not one. You believe in the heart, and you say with the mouth. I had to do it kind of quietly. You don't have to yell at the top of your lungs. I just begin saying what I know the Word of God says. Now, here, the thoughts are trying to get me to receive it. You're not even saved. There is no heaven. There is no God. There is no Word. Those are the kind of battles. I began saying things like, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have come to Jesus and he will in no wise cast me out. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I say with my mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. Father, once again, I come boldly to the throne of grace. I know I've missed it a lot, Father. I know I've missed it. But Father, I come to your throne and I receive mercy and your grace to help in my time of need. I thank you for your mercy, Father, for by the blood of Jesus. I thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. Pretty soon I was having revival. Really, I was. I'm telling you, the emotions melted like a snowball in the August sunshine. They did. They just left. And I started feeling victory and power. Why? I'm putting the enemy has no real effective weapon against the Word of God. If you'll stay with, that's why Jesus, he didn't hold him in the arena of the mind. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. When you're under attack, get God's Word in your mouth. If it won't come automatically, if you've not meditated enough where you can say it, go get some of those confessions that we have for free at our website. And just open the Bible. Just be careful where you open it, you know. Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do that likewise. You know, you don't want to do that. But be ready. See, that's why you need to be equipped ahead of time. So we don't train our soldiers after we throw them into war. You train the soldiers first. Then you take them into war. Well, you've been in a good training for a long time. You know what to do. I knew what to do. My emotions didn't want to. But they're sure. Later, I'm really glad now that we did get God's Word. John 14. Usually I don't read this whole thing here. Probably not going to read it all today either. But this little passage right here set me free from so much false doctrine that I grew up with. Because what I grew up, and they loved Jesus, the denomination where I grew up, they loved the Lord. They preach the cross. They get people saved, you know. But they acknowledge the Holy Spirit, that he exists and that he's with you. But boy, they're against tongues and prophecy and all that type of stuff, you know. And when it come to healing, they didn't know the Lord very well because they would pray for somebody, you know, let's pray for Brother Smith, you know, he's suffering with whatever today. But at the end of the prayer, they'd always add, if it be thy will, meaning they didn't know whether it was his will or not. Well, that's how I was when I got saved. I mean, that doctrine was in me. I didn't know any better. And then finally, one day, this verse, starting here in verse 8, we'll start with 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth us. We don't say that. Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. That'll settle it. And Philip didn't understand what had been going on for 3 years. We're very close to the cross here in John 14. Hours away from the cross. And it's like Jesus was going, I mean, you know, Jesus is so kind. If it had been me, I'd have probably gone, Philip, 3 years. For 3 years, Philip, I have been showing you the Father. That's what I came to do, was so you could no longer be wondering, is it the Father's will to heal? Philip, have you been watching? Well, that's how I would have done it. Jesus is much nicer than Gary. But that's really the truth. The prophets, all the prophets had been prophesying what God was really like. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread and bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And lift up that serpent, that brazen serpent on a pole. Everyone that looks shall live. They're pointing to the cross. I mean, they had all like prophesied and been telling for centuries what God was like, and man still wasn't getting it. So God sends his Son, puts meat, can I say it this way? He puts meat on his word. Okay. He puts flesh. The word becomes flesh. I'll say it more Bible for you. I like that. He put meat on the word. I like that. The word becomes flesh. What's the difference? Anyway. Jesus comes and says, all right, you didn't believe the prophets. They told you what the Father's like. I've come to show you the Father. You want to know what he's like? You want to know what he'll do? Look at me. This is the Father. That's why he says in John chapter 5, verse 30, I don't do anything of my own will. I don't do anything of my own accord. I have no desire to do anything except the will of him that sent me. That's the vessel the Father needed to 100% with no imperfections show him, the world, the Father. Through Jesus. Boy, when I saw that, when I understood that, if you've seen me, oh, I haven't read it yet, have I? So Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Would to God we go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until there's an image that stands up in our heart. It's an image of Christ that circumstances can't blow away. Circumstances can't change. And you go, I know my Father's will because I have seen Jesus. That's good stuff. But see, in that same passage is where he tells, that's our mandate. He starts talking about that. Now, I'm going to finish up here now reading this. I want to read this passage to you out of the Amplified. This is where he's calling us to only believe. So I'm going to start with John 14, verse 9. We're going to read through verse 14 here. No, excuse me, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. That's all we ask. And by the way, that's all the world's really asking. Jesus didn't just send them out to preach the kingdom. He sent them out to demonstrate the kingdom. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. And then, if they'll not hear you, shake the dust off your feet. We've got to give the world. I know why God gave. I mean, it seems to me reasonable that God would give Dave that mandate to go far enough into him to bring a supernatural revival. This is the way Jesus always did it. He sent them out equipped to show the masses the Father. So Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. That's all we ask. And then we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with all of you for so long a time? And do you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me, he does his works, his own miracles, and his own deeds of power. Remember in John 5:30 when he says, I of myself can do nothing? You should take great solace in that. He's not requiring you to do the miracles. He does the miracles. He does it through the agency of the Holy Spirit. It's the Father in us, but the finger of God is the Holy Ghost. The one that reaches out beyond you is the Holy Spirit. That's how the Father reaches from within you to do it, is by the Holy Ghost, see? But he's not requiring you to do it. What he's calling us to do is to believe it. We are the agents of authority, but he is the agent of power. That's what Jesus was saying about himself. He says, I don't do that. It's not the power. I am the agent of authority. But notice here, he authorizes us. Now watch this. I'm going to read that verse 10 again. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles, and deeds of power. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. And that's our mandate. Now he says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you. See, we don't get that in the Greek. When we read the English, it just says verily. But what that word means in Greek is, what he was really saying, how do you get more stronger than this? I assure you, I most solemnly tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. I will grant, yes, I myself will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name. Go to Mark 5. We'll close there. I want you to see the end result of only believing. And I don't care how bad the circumstances, don't get any worse than your daughter's dead. See, we never did quite finish the story. Verse 39, Jesus came in and he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. I hear this. The word will walk in to your dead circumstances. If you will allow the word, he will walk in, even in your dead circumstances, and bring it to life again. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. I'm telling you, God is calling us to only believe. Whenever you, if you get attacked like I was attacked, don't try and win it in the thought realm. Start opening your mouth, get the word of God coming out of your mouth. You don't have to say it is written, but say what is written. Start saying it out of your mouth. I'm telling you, we are going to have what we say. God did not send us on this quest for no end. We shall have revival and bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Hallelujah.